Coming up now from WNCW is the latest edition of More to the Story. I'm Paul Foster. We spotlight this week our friends at the Greenville News. My guest is Greenville News food reporter Lilia Calampenso. Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
I'd like to discuss with you several of your recent stories, starting with a number of well-known and in many cases long-time and popular restaurants in Greenville that have had to close due to hardships caused by the coronavirus pandemic.
You know, and I will preface this by saying that very well may be some that I don't know of for whatever reason. There are quite a few small independent restaurants, and I have a feeling that some of them may just not reopen, though they haven't announced that they've closed yet. But we had maybe a couple weeks ago, I think I wrote about four restaurant closing stories. And in some cases, with one location, K&W here in Greenville, which is based in North Carolina, they closed six of their locations. While it wasn't a buffet, it was kind of like you move through a line. And I do wonder some about certain models of restaurants. You know, the buffet, I wonder if that model will survive this, or will that come back? How will people handle that self-serve, you know, yogurt shops? I've wondered about that. K&W closed. We also had a restaurant in the West End part of downtown Greenville called Compadres, which had been there 13 years. They still have one other location, but they decided to close their original location. They're located near the baseball stadium, and of course, we have not had baseball season this year. So there's really a ripple effect to a lot of this.
I also understand that one of the victims was a popular pizza restaurant.
Sidewall Pizza Company, which has a number of locations around the upstate and is quite popular, but they closed their location in Clemson. I think a lot of it did have to do with the university economy, if you will. Its school was out of session for many months, or it was doing virtual. There's an economy built around that university. Another restaurant called El Thrifty closed, which was built as a social club, but it offered headlight games and was really build itself as a place to bring people together, which unfortunately right now is not the best tagline. So those are the ones I wrote about, but there were a couple others. There was a Japanese restaurant that closed, and then Duke Sandwich Company, they have one of their locations is still open, but they closed one that was located on a Congaree Road. I imagine we'll see more of these closings, unfortunately.
How are some of these buffet-style restaurants operating if they have opened again at this point? I know, for instance, I went into a small-town mom-and-pop type buffet restaurant not too long ago that was open, and what they were doing is that you now went through, instead of you serving yourself, of course, you just pointed out behind the glass in the bar what you wanted. They took care of it with gloves on, with mask on, brought it to the table, and your drink and dessert and all that kind of thing. Things have had to change. And let's now move on to another story. You guys there in Greenville are really so popular to the locals and to tourists and visitors when it comes to a number of food events or food festivals. But what do things look like as we go through the rest of this year, and especially the fall of 2020, again, due to the pandemic when it comes to such events?
You know, it's interesting because one of the more well-known food and wine events, in terms of being well-known outside of Greenville, is Euphoria. And that festival is in its 15th year this year. They had some big plans. Traditionally, they bring Michelin-starred chefs in. They have chefs from all over the country who come. They were planning a couple of events in April. Back in March, it seemed like surely we'd have some level of improvement and quote-unquote normalcy by September. And of course, that's not the case. They did consider canceling. A number of other food and wine events around the country did cancel or pivot to virtual. But the director of Euphoria told me that they had a number of local restaurants ask them to keep the festival going in some measure, along with attendees. So they decided they pared it down, and they, of course, did away with some of their signature events that bring hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. Those are not happening this year, and instead they've focused on more intimate events that can be pretty controlled. The guest chef dinners. So they have a number of dinners that are designed with local chefs and visiting chefs. In this case, I think this year, there's a focus on local chefs. Multi-course dinners that offer the chefs a chance to really show creativity and offer diners a really, really tasty meal. Ticketed events that you can limit the number of people. You can ensure people are seated at certain places. And then they also, the other thing that Euphoria is offering more of this year is classroom experiences, which are sort of educational. A lot of them center on spirits or wine, and they, again, are also more intimate. Euphoria also implemented a mask as you move policy. So if you are up, you will have an assigned seat. If you move, they are requiring you to wear a mask. It's really uncharted territory, as it is for all of us and all businesses and all restaurants. We've got a few other events. We have Fall for Greenville here, which is a huge, huge food event.
They say it's one of the best.
It's great. And this was, I think it was its 39th year. They opted to essentially cancel the in-person event. They are offering a number of virtual elements. You know, people stay in hotels and they spend money. It helps the businesses in and around downtown. Another event that's happening next week, it was postponed, but it will happen, is it's all around tacos and tequila.
Not bad.
And, yeah, no.
Sadly, we've only got about a quick minute left before we run out of time, but I did want you to mention this briefly, and it's last but not least by any means. Tell us about your story that showcased an African-American chef who has been on Food Network, and he has ties that come back to the upstate, Wofford College, which is there in Spartanburg.
Stephen Beatty is a professional chef, but he also specializes in fruit and vegetable carving, which I honestly didn't know a whole lot about. That skill set got him on the Food Network for, I think it's Halloween Wars, and I believe the premiere was this past Sunday. So you can watch on Sunday evenings at 9. You should see some of the pictures of the things that he carves. So think like a watermelon or a honeydew, and he carves them in these very intricate ways. It's mind-blowing, honestly. He talked about getting into the food world. He just has this skill set that he is just really, he's practiced over and over. He's figured it out.
Well, we want to wish Stephen the best of luck, and we're glad to find out about this thanks to your story.
I know that not everyone feels safe dining out. You know, now is the time to really support them if you have the means to do so.
Greenville News food reporter Lilia Calampenso, thank you.
Thank you so much.
More to the Story is here every Wednesday on WNCW and also available as a podcast on our website at WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.